It is time now for us to join our friends, Marcy and David, theberkshireedge.com. Theberkshireedge.com is your go-to site to find out what's going on in South County, Massachusetts and adjoining areas, whether it's news, whether it's events, whether it's nonprofits. They have it covered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's always a pleasure to bring them in and talk to them and cover just a few, and I do mean just a few, of the stories that you can follow. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marshall. Good morning.
Thanks for the nice intro.
And thanks for the weather report.
Why don't you get up to your areas where you start looking at the area where we're, maybe 3 to 4 inches is possible, but we'll see what happens.
So what about Saturday? We're supposed to...
Saturday actually is not going to be that bad of a day. It's not going to be like we have now. It'll be partly cloudy, some showers, but temperatures into the mid-50s, so... we're not going to have the weather we have today, but it'll be far better than that we have on Friday. So we'll take what we can get weather-wise.
Okay.
I can remember spring snowstorms.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I was once involved in a car accident where a lady hit me who lost her control of her car in 3 inches of a heavy, wet snow. By the time, in 45 minutes, the tow truck got there and the police got there, it was all gone. Everybody said it's one of those.
But I can remember 12 inches of snow too.
Oh gosh, yeah.
In May.
It happens. Well, I should say to people, you know, when I look for my news in the morning, I go to various websites, and one of the first spots I go is theberkshireedge.com. And I've been following the story. We've been talking about it, but I've been following it actually on your website about the Great Barrington Fairgrounds. It's kind of like a ping pong match, where now another couple in Great Barrington has agreed to buy it and then donate a portion back to the town.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, this fairground was bought by a couple of years ago, maybe about 5 years ago, and they had great plans to turn it into some sort of architectural experiment
in the kind of public grounds for all kinds of various events that could be held, farmers markets, for example.
But nothing has happened. I mean, they did have a farmer's market, but the ground is not conducive. It gets wet. I mean, there was ideas to build stuff on. Anyway, nothing has happened.
And, it's in a floodplain, for one thing.
Yeah, it's in a floodplain. And so now another couple has come forward and said that they've offered to purchase this derelict fairground, donate a portion of the land back to the town for possible use as park, which is exactly what the select board had discussed several weeks ago, that the town maybe should buy this fairgrounds back and turn it into a park. What's not clear, however, is whether the people who own it now are willing to sell it. So we don't really know. In our article, and I'm sure it's because Terry, our reporter, couldn't find out. There was a quote from the current owner saying that they would be very happy to partner with like-minded people. But it's not clear, and we need to find out further, whether it's actually for sale.
Well, the interesting thing about their quote is partnering with like-minded people. That is a warning sign quote. That is a red flag quote because, people have different visions for different things, and like-minded is not close enough.
Well, there is not. Let's put it this way: there is not a for sale sign hanging on the fence around the. The fairgrounds.
But even though,
in a kind of derelict condition.
Well, that's the whole thing. Even though it's a portion of it's in a floodplain, it is an important piece of property visually for when you drive into Great Barrington from the south.
Well, it was once a kind of hallmark of the town.
Yeah.
You know, they had big agricultural fairs there every year, and they had horse racing. I can remember watching it, actually, and rodeos every so often. So it was, you know, it was a tourist attraction. It was a, and it went through various iterations after that.
Yeah.
For one thing, it was struck by a tornado.
Yeah, in about 1995.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was barely fixed until, I must say, the current owners, the Elsbachs, when they bought it in 2012, they did try to, they were doing fundraising. We went to an event where they were talking about what their plans were, and they were raising money because they are it's a nonprofit organization, actually. Nothing really came of it. And then they wanted to have horse racing there, and there was a tremendous outcry and resistance from many people in the community that the kind of horse racing that would have been brought to Great Barrington is very insensitive or uncaring for the animals.
I just think there's so many things you can do with that. If you have the money to buy it and possibly tear down most of those buildings, I could see a beautiful park setting in the summertime, you bring in food trucks on the parcel. You know, people can wander around, people can walk their dogs. I mean, there's a lot you can do with it that would improve for the town. It's just that...
And there could even be tennis courts, town tennis courts, and then there could be a huge amount that you could
It's going to require a pretty significant financial commitment, and also probably a commitment from the town to help out. But it's one of those pieces of land that's vitally important, simply for the image of Great Barrington, if nothing more.
Right.
So.
And to restore the history a little bit, you know, rather than having a derelict, crumbling architecture.
Yeah, it's just
there,
it's like the Canaan Union Station. Now that's all redone, Canaan
it's beautiful now.
It's a totally different look when you come back into North Canaan. So that's how important.
Yeah, and this really is the gateway into Great Barrington.
It most certainly is.
It's on Route 7. It's across the street from Guido's and the Big Y. Right now, the only function it serves is that people put up announcements on the posters
on the fence.
That's right.
You know, so when you drive out of the parking lot of either Guido's or the Big Y, you see an announcement for some event that's taking place. But that, beyond that, it's unsightly.
Well, that's one of those stories that we'll continue to follow, and I think it'll turn out okay. But you've got to go through all the different angles before that.
This couple, the Chauvals, they are really wonderful. I mean, they made a huge contribution once before. I mean, I think they paid for something at the lake. What was it, David? They are really wonderful.
They've been willing to invest
in the town.
That's what you need.
Town Beach.
Yep.
The Town Beach.
So they seem to be
they contributed
a little bit.
$45,000 to new playground equipment at the Lake Mansfield Recreation Area, which is our town.
So they seem to be civic-minded.
Well, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody that's civic-minded, has connections, can raise funds and put funds in, and work cooperatively with the town.
My personal view is that, somehow there have been various ideas of how to use that space, but I don't think I don't think there's been a coherent proposal yet that I've heard, or there may be one out there, but we haven't heard about it yet.
Well, it's been in private hands, which makes it difficult, right?
Yeah.
I want to move on because your next story, around here with our volunteer fire departments and even paid fire departments, long-term department heads, when we lose them, I know in Sharon we lost our long-term fire department. It's an emotional time for a town and for the department. And Great Barrington actually lost its longtime fire chief, and you've got a story on Harry Jennings.
Yeah, Harry Jennings. He was the fire chief he was a member of the fire department for 38 years, and it was chief for the 11. He was a really beloved character, and I can remember going to town meetings, and he was always there depending the expenditures for the fire department, and he shepherded through. And because of his, his popularity and the respect the town had for him, the town was able to, the voters were willing to fund a new fire department headquarters, and used to be right downtown, but it was quite cramped and in a difficult and inaccessible location. Next door to the Mahaley Theater. But in any case, people in town had a great deal of respect and fondness for their fire department, in large part because of Harry Jennings. So it's a shame that he passed.
How old was he, do we know?
I'm not sure. He was 38. He was there. He was chief for 38 years. Or he served in the fire department for 38 years.
And it's hard to get volunteer firemen these days.
Yeah, that's true.
First of all,
It goes along with all the problems. There's no place to live. There's no place to work. I mean,
right. And true. I mean, I know that the town is always looking for volunteer firemen.
It's just one of those
firewomen, fire people.
It's one of those things that people.
I mean, the volunteer fire department was possible actually because people worked in town, and they had jobs that from which they could suddenly leave and do. Volunteer to fight a fire.
Yeah, when a fire came up.
Yeah. So, but some that is that kind of lifestyle that allows for this kind of volunteer effort is more difficult now. So.
Well, I keep saying to people who fight affordable housing and stuff like that is that just wait till volunteer firefighters are gone and you have to pay full for fire service to protect your town.
True. And that's exactly right.
And you'll be shocked at the amount of money that you're going to have to pay. The work that the volunteers do and the ambulance squads and the fire departments are simply amazing, and it's a bargain at the price. I want to move on to...
Also, by the way, I must say, it's a sign of the kind of sense of community that makes these New England towns very special, I think.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to move on to the next.
We don't know how old. I'm looking at the article, and we actually don't know how old he was.
Yeah. The point is that he dedicated his life to the town by basically whether you're just a member of the department or heading it up, and you can't ask for any more than that from a neighbor. I want to move on to your story about Williams College and their efforts to have the Berkshires become more inclusive racially and ethnically as well.
Yeah, they're having a panel discussion in which they're talking about how a community can be sure to include its minorities. Well, its population of different ethnic backgrounds, and so it's especially in this era, which we seem to be in a moment of nationwide of reassessing how our attitudes are towards our various ethnic populations. This is just one of those moments in American history where I think it's been, we've always been kind of wondering who in the devil we are.
Right.
And this is just one of those moments, of course, not locally and nationally.
Now, this what happened at Williams College is that they had the first in what they planned to have a series of community discussions on integrating different peoples into the community, and so the first one, which took place on Wednesday, I think, on Monday night, sorry, was called "On Being Asian American in the Berkshires." Especially during COVID-19, and it had an interesting group of people, including Yuki Cohen, who is a Korean, born in Korea, who owns a very popular restaurant called Methuselah Bar and Lounge in Pittsfield, and she's also, I think, now a city councilor in Pittsfield, and they also had a woman named Helen Moon, who is an Asian, also a city councilor in Pittsfield, and another woman named Michelle DeCepeda, who's a prominent person in Pittsfield. There are going to be more of them. I'm just looking for the listing now, but I'm sure it's on our calendar.
Yeah. Go to berkshireedge.com and go to the calendar and search the calendar.
Right. But this is, these are clearly very interesting conversations and important for us to be having.
Talking about your calendar, though, the traditional summer season is going to be back with a small T in traditional, okay? because activities are going to be affected, but at least they're coming back.
They are coming back. I mean, it's this is an article that was. We have an article. We have business articles. We concentrate on business on Mondays, and so we had two very interesting articles in our Business Monday lineup this week. One was an article that was written to us by One Berkshires, which is an organization that includes the Chamber of, not the Chamber of Commerce, but the Tourist Bureau and also the Economic Development Organization.
Yeah, it's a countywide organization,
right,
to kind of promote the Berkshires culturally and economically.
Economically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They write us an article once a month on what's happening in the Berkshires, it's sort of an overview of what's happening in economic terms. And this week or this month, they wrote an interesting article about what cultural organizations are planning this summer, and it's a sort of a quick peek at who's doing what. But what's so encouraging is that many organizations happening, and we will be doing more about this. We will be bringing calendar, which is our calendar magazine. We're bringing it back into print toward the end of May, bringing it online first and then into print. But this is a section in a magazine that focuses on places to go and things to do. And so we are excited as we are collecting information from the magazine. This article is really the first taste of what's happening, and we'll be following through with a more in-depth look. But everyone, is trying to have a summer schedule.
Yep.
The theater companies, the museums, there are lots of things planned, and I think everyone is sort of keeping their fingers crossed that it all goes well. But we want to salute all these organizations who really, are taking tremendous financial risks by putting themselves out there, not sure what the audiences will be like and whether people will feel comfortable coming out. But then we had a second article about the very famous and popular Brimfield Antiques Show that takes place in Brimfield, Massachusetts, which is about an hour east of here, for three times a year, and they shut down last year, and apparently they are still not opening this year. There are like two spaces in the Brimfield complex that will be operating, but there's something like only two vendors who will be participating live, and 19 will still not. So this has been such an institution, this Brimfield Antiques Show, that it's devastating that hopefully it will come back, because the antiques dealers feel that they really need it.
Yep. I want to get to the last story, because I think this is a story that will lift people's spirits, and that is the story about how someone will miss wearing a mask, assuming the pandemic. I mean, this is the type of thing people need to read just to lighten up a little bit.
Yes.
Sonia. Yes, she's delightful.
Sonia Piltzer, who's a local writer. Go ahead, David.
No. She's a delightful person, a friend of ours, actually, and a really good writer. She's written a story about how she's going to miss her mask once this pandemic is over. She's going to miss about how she's going to miss being in a kind of a shutdown. It's an amusing way and a healthy way to kind of to lighten up the restrictions and isolation that we've all been enduring for the last year.
But and she says things like, you know, in the winter it's very useful. It keeps her face warm.
It also enables you to sneer at people when they say something dumb.
Exactly. And, you know, you don't know whether people are smiling or not. But she said there's something nice about, you know, there's a kind of, you know, it keeps you, protects you from the sun and the wind.
Well, she goes on, too, about how she remembers her grandmother would tie a white woolen kerchief around her hair before they ever went outside.
Right.
You know, it was just part of her, what they would wear when they would go out in public.
Right.
So,
and she talks about her trip to the United Arab Emirates, where she saw women who were covered in hijabs. When they went into the ladies' room, they took off all these masks. They had nice makeup on, and they were giggling about, makeup and clothing and stuff like that. And then, of course, they went outside, you know, covered up again. And she says she sort of feels like, that she's covered up and sort of protected in a way by wearing her mask. So it's an amusing take.
All right. Well, stories like that and news stories available 24 hours a day at theberkshireedge.com. And once again, their magazine with all the events coming out hopefully towards the end of May. Guys, we will speak with you next week.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Have a nice week.
Yep. Bye.
TheBerkshireEdge.com, once again, is where you can find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.